Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the At-Large Technology Task Force call taking place on Wednesday, 18th of January 2017 at 1400 UTC. On the call today, on our English channel, we have Dave Anand-Tilak-Singh, Gordon Cholcott, Satish Babu, Glenn McKnight, Judith Hellerstein, Daniel Nangaka, Sarah Kidden, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, and Alfredo Calderon. On the Spanish channel, we have Renata Aquino-Riberio. We have received apologies from Stuart Clark, and from staff we have Alex Hudson, Mark Segal, Corina Ace, Ariel Liang, Evinar Dodo, and myself, Yashim Nazar. Our Spanish interpreters today are Veronica and Claudia. And I see that Abdul Jalil Bashar Bong has just joined us as well. And finally, if I could please remind all participants to state their names before speaking, not only for the transcription purposes, but also for the interpretation purposes as well. And over to you, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Yasmin. This is David Anand-Tilak-Singh, and welcome, everyone, to our Technology Task Force call. We're having it earlier this month due to ICANN staff retreat next week. So that's why we were having it on a Wednesday instead of our typical Monday next week. So let's get right to it. We have several various action items to just quickly to try to quickly review. So just to review some of these action items, Satish, Daniel, and myself have created an entry about the security issues related to Adobe Connect and Skype, best practices to tackle those security issues. I have done explicitly on the Adobe Connect and Skype, but I did do a security update regarding the recent Yahoo breach, which I posted earlier this month on the TTF list. And I have done some more in-depth research on the Skype spam. So I think we can probably, Satish and I and Daniel, perhaps we can just work to create a Google Doc of this issue, so we can then issue it. Okay. Ariel Yang to check with IT about the exit poll function because of its different behaviors in different browsers that we accidentally tested on our last call in December. Ariel, anything to report on that?
Thanks, Dave. This is Ariel. Meeting.
Ariel, we cannot hear you.
Oh. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We'll report on this next meeting.
Okay. Very well. Myself to add the timing out issue to the technologies issues page. And I have to confess, I have not done this, and I think it was because I believe it was reporting from Olivier on the inability to connect, especially during the IGF meetings, to connect to the Adobe Connect. I have not really had a chance to do this, and my apologies on that. But it will be done. Perhaps we can do this, and probably when we invite someone from ICANN, probably Josh, to talk about Adobe Connect issues. All right. Judith and Glenn to share with other RELOs during a secretariat call about the RELO leadership mailing addresses that can be made available. As we discussed on the last call, we've found out that email addresses such as chair@whateverralo.org is available. So Glenn, Judith, any quick update on this? Judith?
Yes, this is Judith Hellstein for the record. No, actually, what is available, not chair@theralo.org, but what is available is that you can create an email address for the chairs. So this one could be, we could have a ttf.leadership@icann.org, which would go to all the chairs of the TTF. And it will also, since there's a listserv, it will, you can go back and look at the knowledge management. So if we have a new chair coming on, they can go back and read different chair discussions as long as the address TTF-leadership is used. So this could be for every working group too. And so instead of always trying to CC just to find the addresses and of one chair and then having him forward to the other chairs, you can have it just go directly to all the assigned leadership team of that working group or task force. Same with Avalo. So we use the Navalo-leadership to send the emails. So that way we could have that. And so that's what the issue is.
Okay. So thanks. Glenn, do you have a quick response to this as well?
Yeah, I do.
This is Cheryl. I'd like to explain with you.
Let me answer the first question. Is did we report it to the Secretariat? I don't believe we have. Judith, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe it was a topic we brought up at that meeting, but it's valid. We'll make a mental note to mention it at the next call. I think what Judith is talking about, she worked with staff as a workaround on the solution, because what happened is we are revamping our mail card and literature, and on the old Norello brochure, it had info@norello.org. So we naturally thought we could get chair or secretariat@norello.org, and that was verboten. So God knows where 6 or 8 years of info@norello.org went. So that was kind of a waste. But we came up with this solution, and it has two benefits. One, it doesn't offend anybody, it seems. And second of all, it allows us to collate the emails to all of us rather than just one. So it's a good workaround.
Thanks. Okay, thank you. Can I just suggest then that this be documented on a wiki page or on an email post on the TTF list? So we can, all right? Judith, I don't want to spend too much time on agenda.
Just a quick thing. So what the problem was a security issue is that the domain, if it's going to using an ICANN domain by people not in ICANN, and so there was no way of tracking it, and it had to be done through a VPN. But also, there was an issue, it was supposed to be internal security issues and other issues, and then there's an idea of how do we make public things, keep on the transparency issue and make public different emails. And so the workaround that I created solves every single problem they have, and that way, then it significantly adds to the knowledge management issue, is that new chairs can review when they come on all the information. So it adds, it solves problems, and it fixes a lot of issues.
Thanks. Okay. So again, I would suggest, I guess we can check off this box and just, as I say, report this onto the mailing list so it's documented and can be forwarded to other persons. Glenn, to follow up at Matamos, Glenn, I know that this wasn't possible. You did follow up, but you couldn't get this arranged. I do have an update on the Matamos testing, though, so we could tackle that on the when we get to it on the agenda items. Ariel, to investigate what tool GNSO Council uses for online voting. Ariel, do you have a response on that?
This is Ariel. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
I will get the information on this after the policy retreat next week, because we will meet with the GNSO staff.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to skip through some things that I know that we have updates on. Ariel, to explore the ways to remove the app of older ICANN meetings. Any progress to that? To report on that, or
no progress.
All right. Okay, and I see the other issues regarding the Lacrallo mailing list, EXO platform, and so forth. So I think we could tackle that in our agenda. so we can tell you just move ahead from the action items on this. So there are three things, and let's move ahead to the next item, which is the technology issues page. There's three, so you have to update on at least three of the three things. One is the Lacrallo mailing list issues. And what has happened is that progress has been made on the Lacrallo mailing list translation issues. Some long-standing bugs have been squashed, and a new version is now available for testing, by the TTF. So perhaps I could probably turn over to Corina or Mark to just say a few words on this.
Sure. This is Corina, for the record. Just to give you thanks, Dave. That sort of sets it up well. Just to give you the latest as where we're at. We had a discussion with Dave in December, and we pushed some of the code fixes and updates to the new test transpot EN and ES list for testing and just sort of use and review by sort of a wider audience. And so after we gather some feedback about that on the testing on the transpot list, whether that's today or in the coming weeks, and I can open the floor after this. We'll note any new, bugs to address or showstoppers, but we really just want to sort of get feedback and introduce these changes that have addressed the most critical bugs that have been recorded. And then as another update, over the last month since pushing those first changes into the test list, the development team has started work on other bugs and enhancements that were also captured in the past but weren't part of the critical initial first fixes. That work includes providing users a means of tagging specific content that you might not want translated in email, that's the rest of which will be automatically translated. Another one is addressing a bug that caused subject lines to be distorted or turned into gibberish. And then ensuring the ability to retain attachments between translated emails. And this is all still under internal development and testing, but we're hoping to discuss with Dave timing of when we're ready deploying these recent changes as well to the transpot test list for sort of wider testing by the task force. And then eventually when we're ready, we'll have a special purpose call to announce all changes, review improvements overall, and then sort of discuss our launch plan before pushing all of these fixes and enhancements into production. So if I've missed anything, Mark, please let me know. And otherwise, if anyone has comments about using the transpot test email list, bugs or improvements, either way, we can talk about that now. I know it's limited time today, so you can also feel free to just send me an email or let Dave know, and I can, Dave and I can communicate with Mark as well, and we can capture any feedback another way. I don't want to take up too much time on the call today.
Thanks. Thanks, Corina. This is Dave. And I must say, just great progress on the some of those additional fixes. So the idea behind some, just to quickly clarify, we could have, I had suggested as a feature enhancement that we include in a person's email a method for specifying information that shouldn't be translated, so like person's names or perhaps acronym, those types of things, so that it would not, so the transbot would just essentially treat it as something not to translate and just pass it on to the translated email as is. And I have to say also great progress on getting attachments working from one list to the next. I thought, initially we've been told that way back in the beginning that this was not possible, and I'm really glad to see that this progress has been made. To answer Glenn's question, who from Lacrallo is providing user feedback? So far it's me, but I haven't really done any extensive testing. So this is now a call out for those persons who are interested in testing the translation tool. Please let myself or Corina know, or staff know for that matter, and they could just forward it to help test the translation tool. And so that would mean that you will be subscribed to both lists, and you would see what happens when you send them email, what happens. And then once you have identified bugs, you could update the wiki page accordingly. Okay. Glenn?
Hi. I had to get off the phone. My wife needed it, so using just the audio on the computer. Dev, I want to ask you bluntly, where's the Lacrello people on giving feedback? This is a Lacrello issue, and do they not take this serious, or they're just not discussing this? I just want a straight answer on it.
This is Dave. I think, thanks, Glenn. This is Dave. So I would say that, you know, Lacrello has also been preoccupied with other activities. So I will perhaps as an action item also for ask the Lacrello mean list if there are persons willing to help test this, the tool. So you could probably capture that as an action item. So just to ensure. But there are a few persons already on the Lacrello new tool. We just haven't really made a formal announcement to say, hey, we've made these changes. We've implemented it on the new mailing list. So now we can start testing again.
Can I suggest as an action item that this report goes back to your monthly meeting at Lacrello, because they need to be part of the process. I understand they're busy, so is everyone. So but it's integral to their operation efficiency. So I think it should not be buried in this committee.
Okay. Point taken. All right. Thanks for that. And thanks again, Corina and Mark, for the update. So the next thing we want to talk about, which we have an update on, is the ability to export Adobe Connect recordings, which from a flash-only recording to formats like, well, MP4, and to be made accessible on video sharing sites like YouTube. Ariel has, and I believe Terry also did some work on this. Ariel?
Thanks, Dave. It's really not that much work on this, rather than just exporting the video into this MP4 format and then upload to the YouTube channel. The only limitation is we need to run the whole meeting on a separate screen without minimizing it, so that the video can be transforming to the MP4 format in a proper manner. And will take some space from our personal laptop, but that's doable. And then once we upload it, we can just keep it on in the cloud. So, it's a pretty easy process, and I will highly recommend that we convert some of our teleconferences or webinars into a YouTube format, MP4 format, and then so that we can properly share that on YouTube. And that's much easier than expecting people to click onto our wiki agenda, find the link, and view the video. That's all I say on this point. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Ariel. So this is Dave. So I believe the first time when we first tried this out, it didn't work and so forth. So you think what happened then was just a fluke, and it was more like the file, in downloading the file, it got corrupted in some way, because the second time you did it, everything worked out okay. Correct?
This is Ariel. The issue didn't happen when we convert the video. The issue happened when we upload it to YouTube, and somehow the video got double the length and without audio for the second repeated version. So there's some bug in YouTube, maybe they fixed it so that this time we didn't run into the same problem.
I see. Okay. All right. Thanks for this. Any thoughts or comments on this? Well, seeing no questions, I guess I have one thing that comes to mind, and perhaps this maybe Ariel, this probably needs to be discussed with Mark as well. You mentioned the downside of this is that you have to basically run the recording in real time in order to convert it to the MP4 format, and then spend some time to upload it to YouTube. And so essentially, you have to dedicate your computer to do that. You can't interrupt it. You can't pause it, as I understand it. So my question is, perhaps additional ICANN should invest in resources to make this less of a, how should I put it, dedicate some resources to make this happen more efficiently. I'm just throwing it out as a suggestion, just to have a dedicated machine that you could remote control and do this type of conversion and uploading. So that is going to be, that would be my suggestion, because what will be happening is that your staff will be devoting a machine to this, and then you can't do your other work effectively. This is just my comment.
This is Ariel. That would be ideal if we can have two laptops on my hand. That's great. But I'll ask.
Okay. Well, yes. And what could happen is that you can remote control another computer, and then from there, run the download of the conversion to MP4. And you could probably look at ways of automating. If file exists on computer, then upload. You could probably script those things. So, Mark?
Hi, this is Mark. I'm taking note of all this. All I wanted to really state, just so you know, I'm listening here. I will definitely take this back to the MTS, our Maintenance Technical Services team, and not only this request for additional system, but also the continued, it sounds like it's coming with more regularity, this issue with uploading to YouTube, so I'll also raise that as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. And I think, if it is such that you could just simply upload it, you can get it up to a state where it's really just, our staff just simply provides the links to the recordings and say, go, convert. And just leave it, instead of them, taking their time to do this stuff. So that's my thinking. Okay.
Hello.
All right, so...
Oh, there, Sean.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sean.
Okay, yeah, thank you. This is Sean for the record. Just one thing before, I'm audio only, so I'm not seeing the agenda at all. Just one thing before we move from Adobe Connect, there was something I raised about having the chat only pod. Is it possible now, or is there even any hope at all about that? There's the option to be able to just have the chat only, especially for those who have bandwidth challenges. Right now, the live text will be the stream text URL for people to follow what is being discussed. Is useful because it's independent of the Adobe Connect. But having option to the chat window, the chat port alone, may also be something that will be very useful as well. So is there any progress on that, or should we just forget it as something that cannot happen for now? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sean. This is Dave. I have to confess that probably was not that approach was probably not captured on our technology issues page. So can I suggest that we just work to really tackle all of these Adobe Connect ideas for improving Adobe Connect or coming up with workarounds for Adobe Connect be identified on the page? So staff to work with Sean to capture that. I'm thinking it is, but I don't think any direct progress has been made. You're talking about a little bit about the captioning. Judith, is this can that wait till we get to the captioning update, or is it something you have a direct answer, a direct short answer?
Oh, this is Judith for the record. Yeah, Sean, I think that the chat, all these pods are independent, are not independent, so they're stuck on Adobe. And I know on the app you can see the pod, you can see the chat pod separate, but you're loading the app. So I don't think the pods are all separate. The only reason why you had the chat pod separate is that it was taking the feed from the live, from the stream text. It was not connected to the Adobe. It was feeding directly from an independent source. So unless we can get the chat feeding from an independent source, you're not going to be able to get that. But Josh, but maybe Josh or someone else can confirm that.
Yes. So let's really document these Adobe connectors used a little bit more clearly so that we can just, when Josh comes on a call, we could just walk through them. Or he could look at it beforehand and come with some answers or suggestions for approaches. So, okay. So, Sean, work with staff to just document that capture that issue that you and that idea you have. I think it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, so. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. So this is Dave. Yes. So the next update on the technology issues page was the exit polling feature. So Ariel, you said you'll see that you're going to find out from the policy retreat. You'll get an update on this issue, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very well. Okay, I think we could just leave it as that. Are there any other technology issues people want to raise or want to note? I mean, the wiki page is there, and it's up to you as a community to just, identify these issues so that we can identify it and develop a workaround or solution for it. And I see Ajit Dahil Bacha has identified an issue regarding the iPhone and so forth. So I just want to suggest, and I see Ariel has already responded, let's include that his issue on the Adobe Connect issues. So when we raise it for IT. Okay. All right. Seeing no hands raised or anything of that sort, let's get an update on the next agenda item, which is the update on the captioning pilot and the FY18 proposal. Judith?
Yes, this is Judith Hellstein for the record. I have updated the captioning proposal is now on the special request 18 page. So basically what we asked for is it to be one, put into the core budget, and two, we asked for an extension, so 6 months time period with French, Spanish, and English. Currently in the pilot testing we're doing now in the second stage, we have gotten funding for one call in Spanish, one call in French. We haven't had the call in Spanish yet, but in the French call, in a follow, apparently it worked really well, and possibly I see from the results it was very helpful, and Sean probably could actually, Daniel, could actually talk about that. We also tested it on the CCWG diversity call and it went very well on there. We did have some technical issues on the Uralo call, which is also a good lesson to learn, is that when putting the survey, it's so easy for staff to accidentally check a wrong button, and then that doesn't allow for multiple choice questions. And so we just, I guess, make sure that because it's so easy, that maybe we slow down in doing it, so make sure that it gets done correctly. Because then it's harder if we're collecting data from all the sessions to collate the data when the options are changed. So that's just my technical point that we have here. We did add an extra support this year in our pilot of enhancing it in the sense that the survey is not only taken for people who are on Adobe, but staff can also send a web link to a Google survey So the people who are on the phone, or the people who had to leave early, or the people who don't have any bandwidth, or the people who have phone problems can take the survey at a later date after the call or on the web. So that's what we're having now. And the new request for captioning, if you look on the FY18 budget request list, also shows some of the metrics we gathered. In the new request, we are looking for not only for the pilot to continue for 6 months, but also for it to be expanded, because we have so many requests for so many sessions that we just couldn't accommodate any of them. So we want to have 5 sessions a month. In this year, we only had 3. In the past, we only had 3. And these are 6 months. So, and maybe Ariel can put the link, or someone can put the link into the special budget request page so that others can view the proposal.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Judith. This is Dave. I think a very great progress. In fact, I was able to, I believe it was the Urala call yesterday, I was able to just simply click onto the stream text and just, you know, have that open on a separate window. So
yes.
I could just see the information. So, you know, I have to say the captioning is a great facility. So I think it's great that
yes.
the pilot has achieved some good results. And
yes.
that,
And Dev,
okay.
some of the metrics, this is Judith again, some of the metrics were, they said that, over 90% of the people in most of the calls that happened in January found that it was either very helpful or helpful in understanding and the call and in getting it more involved. So, which is the purpose, which is one of the purposes of the call. But if we could have 1 or 2 minutes from Daniel or Sean talking about the call, the French translations or something like that, and how on the Othello, that might be helpful.
Okay. Very well. Any input, Sean or Daniel? Regarding the what happened on the Afralo call.
Yeah, this is Sean. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Sean.
Hello. Okay. Oh, good.
Hi,
yeah. So thank you. Personally, I was, as usual, I was audio only. However, I think some of the feedback I was hearing via the audio was that it was great and very useful. I couldn't take the survey because I was, of course, audio only. And so, generally, I think it was very helpful, and I think it's something that should continue even once this pilot is over. I haven't looked at the recording. Yeah, that's all for me. Thank you.
Sean,
okay.
This is Judith. Did you not get? Did staff not send out the web link for the survey to the people who are on Adigo? And if not, we can get staff to send it out. Yes, can you, or Ariel, could you make that as an action item that the web link should go out to all people who are on Adigo so they can take the survey as well? Thanks.
So this is shown for the record. So that would be fine to send it. I don't know whether it's an action item for TTF, by the way, but I think it should be fine to send the survey URL to those of us that use audio. Maybe we can check the recording and see whether it was good, and then we'll respond to the survey. But overall, it was fine. Thank you.
Okay. Great. All right. Thanks, Sean, and thanks, Judith, for the update. Seeing no questions, let's move ahead now to the next agenda item, which was the update on the meeting app survey. There was something else. There was a proposal that was submitted on a policy tracking proposal from Glenn McKnight. Glenn?
Hi, everybody. Glenn, for the record. Yes, it was actually a proposal
that was Olivier, myself, and Dev submitted. And I'm sorry, I don't have a Deagle Adobe. My computer crashed, so I'm going blind right now. So basically, if you look through the proposal, what we did is we went back to the Atlas II recommendations, and there's so many recommendations that talked about tracking. And in particular, we're interested from Norello is the policy statements. And this becomes one of the core deliverables in all our RALO deliverables based on our MOU. And we spend so much time on recruiting and new ALSs and asking them to get involved. But we've had an issue in terms of, you know, how many policy statements, what is the quality of the statements, how are they applicable to the whole fold. So what we did there is we put a proposal together, A, based on a reality of that we have an obligation, and B, is all these numerous Atlas II recommendations saying, okay, we need to track this stuff. So that was the nature of the beast. We do not have a budget number. We work with staff like Mark and Green who, you know, internally, we're not looking at an external person doing this, but to work with staff and say, how can we come up with a specific way to track this? So that's in a nutshell. So I'll open it back to anyone who has any questions.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. I believe the document has unsynced for people to scroll through the document. Ariel and then Judith. So Ariel.
Thanks, Glenn.
I'm sure. I'd like to send it to you.
Okay, Sean, as well. Okay, Ariel.
Thanks, Dave. Maybe my question is a little out of scope for this meeting, but my question is if an individual from Norello drafted a statement, can you say this is a statement from Norello? Because I don't know how Norello produce policy advice. Do you work together on that, review the statement together, and then provide comments specifically on that statement for this Norello drafter to incorporate, or it's just an individual activity? Because for AFRALO, it's they do some collaborative work with AFRI ICANN, and then they produce this joint statement, and that's an AFRALO statement. So, yeah, but I maybe my question is out of scope here, but that's just a thing to think about when you start tracking Norello output or RALO output.
Okay. Thanks, Ariel. Interesting. Glenn, you have a quick response to that, or?
Sure. Debbie, we are welcome. You're co-author of this as well. Ariel, any feedback that you can give in terms of making this too viable? It doesn't have to drill down to the individual, and you know it. Basically, I guess what we're trying to say is that if we're on the hook to provide proof of what we're doing. And this is one of our core responsibilities, then sure, whatever help we can have to document it and prove that we have value with the new evolution with ICANN, I think it's going to become more and more of an obligation. And, you know, we took this, I talked to Alan about this, and he said the ALS expectation and metrics group, which I thought naturally this would be where we would get feedback, he says, really, they only deal with the first part. They're not into the metric side of things yet. I guess what I'm anticipating is the metric side of things. As you know, I'm anticipating the bean counters putting the thumb on people, saying, okay, what value do you have? And not to say it's good, not to say it's bad, but let's be proactive with this, and let's put this proposal forward and see how we can work with staff to make your life, Ariel, and other people's life easier, and so that we can go back to people in our own community that question our value as well. So we get questioned from every level. And so I just want a tool to be able to say, here, this is what we've done. That's where I'm coming from. But I think there's intrinsic value in this.
Thanks. Thanks, Len. This is Dave. Minor correction, though. It's the ALS Criteria and Expectations Task Force. I believe that was the actual group. Not criteria and expectation and metrics. So, okay. All right, Judith, Sean, and then Ariel.
Yes, this is Judith Helsing for the record. But I also, Ariel, your comment is very relevant. But as to what I think we also have to figure out what we define as policy. And in that matter, I think that anything in many different, oftentimes Navarro or oftentimes ALAC has decided not to put a comment in, but individual ALSs have decided they wanted a comment. And right now there's no way of tracking that besides going manually into it. And so maybe the thing is, I know to submit a comment, I think you have to log into Confluence and upload your comment to the page, and maybe there's some way of tracking that of automatically, so that when someone who's within a Rallo has been posting a comment, that is indeed tracked, or besides staff going through each comment all the time and just writing people down. And so I don't know whether we should be doing that, because I think those are also policy advice. An example is that when the fellowship document came up for comments, we had about 5 commenters from Navarro. But these people are not tracked because there's no method of tracking them. The only method of tracking ALAC policy advice, and I think that also needs to be put in. So that's just my comment.
Okay, thanks for that, Judith. I'm sure Ariel probably wants to respond to that as well. But actually, Sean, and then Ariel, and then we want to move on from this.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? This is Sean for the record.
Go ahead, Sean.
Okay, yeah. So I think Ariel touched on one of my comments, and I think Glenn's response was quite helpful, and that of Judith as well. So what we are looking at, we already have some tracking, some level of tracking. For instance, for the AFRALO statement, they have been tracked. For the ALAC statement, they have been tracked, and for all the other the policy, the public comments that we respond to, even if it is not from an ALAC member, but if anybody writes a public comment and it's endorsed by ALAC, it's also tracked, I believe, on the website. So what I think is it's probably left is those comments that are ALS, like Judith has mentioned. So I don't know an easy way to do that. Maybe it could be maybe that can be achieved at the global level, whereby when the person is submitting a public comment, there's a field that actually asks for which of the community or she associates with and not necessarily representing in terms of submitting the particular comment or statement. So if that can be tracked at a global level, maybe then we can then drill down to see, to check if it was to log those information in future. Without doing that initially, I don't think we'll be able to follow up with it in future and use it for anything meaningful, unless it is actually those data are getting prior to submitting those comments. That's just my little contribution. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Sean. Good points raised. Ariel.
Thanks, Dave. I don't want to take more time on this agenda item, but just to quickly respond to a Glenn's comment. I think as a RALO, if you want to say you produce policy advice, you need to have a mechanism how to encourage others to write a statement and provide comment together, so that it's a more collaborative process than rather individual activity. If you just really want to know the people who are from Navarro commented on things on their individual capacity and just tracking that number, I don't think it's very much valuable than figuring out that mechanism how to produce advice as a railroad together and encourage more group activities, rather a collaborative work than just individual work, because I don't think that would, if individual contribution, I don't think that can justify it's a narrow contribution. So even we have the metrics, it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse. So that's all my comment now.
Thanks, Ariel. This is Dave. Very interesting comment indeed. In fact, I didn't really think there would be that much comments on this. And so very interesting stuff. I have to listen again to the recording and see if it captures some of the more salient points. Maybe this could be updated, the proposal then, Glenn, could be updated with that.
Let me respond. I think Sean and Ariel's are excellent points, and that shows the relationship we have. This committee is really encouraging staff participation. We're not doing this and say, here, do this job. We want to do it not as in vacuum. We want to do it as a collaborative effort so that everyone's life is easier. Everyone gets the intelligence. Everyone benefits from this. So any constructive feedback or criticism is welcome. So all I'm saying is we go back to why we did this in the first place. And to be honest with you, this has been going around for 2 years, and no one's done anything on it. In fact, Dev could tell you that, you know, I really had to do this myself. Basically, even though I tried to poke Olivier and Dev, they said, yeah, go ahead and do it if you want. Not that they're disinterested, it's people are busy. So I'm not holding my breath on this. I just thought, well, let's throw it at the committee. Let's see if there's an interest. It may have, may not. But from my impression from Heidi last week is that even if it doesn't get funded, it may find some space somewhere. It may find an interest somewhere. So I'm just raising this issue up. Whether people will like it or not, I'm just saying, here's an issue that's been ignored. That's my final comment.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn, on this. And again, thanks for pushing this forward. And indeed, nothing ventured, nothing gained, I think. But I think it's a very good proposal, because we do need help to help implementing this, because we can't do it on our own. We just, as you said, we're just way too busy. So we only have like close to 12 minutes, and we have two agenda items. So, okay, well, I think I can do the updates regarding EXO and Matamos very, very quickly. So, Glenn, go ahead.
Okay, folks, I'm going to be real quick. We had very few. We had 22 responses back on the app. There was very few constructive feedback comments. I'd say Alfredo is probably the most intelligent person who's given feedback. He gave feedback on alternate tools. He highlight is he talked about Beacon. I created a very extensive list of event apps, and really only two people responded, one on Event Mobi and the other on Crowd Compass. Can you take this survey and say here to Josh, we got a lot of constructive feedback. This is peanuts. 20 out of 3,600 people doesn't make a really great survey, but I would say in terms of the comments, particularly Alfredo, and I'd like to thank him for his effort, and concretely, we're going to have some solid experience using this, because he used it at the last Aaron session, and all of us at Norella will be at Aaron, so we're going to have some real practical experience using the app. So perhaps I'd like to suggest as an action item, we come back to particularly Judith and I and Alfredo and others who actually will use that app constructively and try to do a follow-up feedback, because it seems to be the tool that impressed Alfredo. No one else really gave a substantial comment on it at the present time. So there was another comment that somebody talked about Eventbrite, which really isn't relevant. So that's my quick report.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Linda, for that concise report. Any thoughts or comments on it? No, but just one response. I would say that perhaps the challenge has been getting this more widely accepted? I mean, you mentioned, yes, there are 3,000 people that attend the ICANN meeting, but not everybody saw the survey. It was really circulated within the at-large community, as I understood it. And then again, only a subset of the ICANN at-large community are at the face-to-face meetings. And even, well, perhaps it's not the same, or perhaps the same amount of persons are attending other events that, and have which can share experiences about the tools that have been used. So that's a caveat. I don't think the numbers are that bad. Any other? Okay, seeing no other comments. Let me just go down for a final agenda item, and that's a review testing of the EXO platform. So this is a tool that has the potential to be a policy management process system as part of recommendation 26 in the at-large recommendations. So Stuart Young has been, unfortunately, who's been tasked to try to set this up on his server space, has said that he has been a bit too busy. And he gave apologies when giving his apologies for the call today. So we can do two approaches. James Gannon has suggested that he's able to try to get this set up as a separate instance. Another alternative approach is to perhaps use the online version of the EXO platform that is on EXO platform itself, and DESA begins to start doing some informal testing there. So let me just quickly post it, the link to the So, I've already gone in and created an account. So perhaps other persons can just log in quickly, and then we could just, as I say, kick the tires around of this tool. And then, so Sean, go ahead. Sean, you wanted to say you had a comment?
Yes, I wanted
Dave,
to say something.
This is
hello,
okay,
this is Sean.
Hello?
Okay.
I think it's sorted out. Go ahead, Sean.
yeah, sorry. I lost audio. Just came back. I wanted to comment on, Glenn was saying something about the app. I think I did fill the survey, and one thing I think was significant for me, because I noticed that Glenn needs some significant concerns. I think the fact that I will need to download the app at every ICANN meeting is significant for me, and there has to be a way of avoiding that. Otherwise, it's quite not really, really helpful in that regard. And the other aspect is the ability to actually sync all of the agenda items with Google Calendar. It isn't really, really flexible as well. But I put it in the survey. So if those comments were not received, Glenn, please let me know. I can redo the survey again if it is still open. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. And perhaps, well, I'm sure Glenn can look back on the survey results and get back to you on that.
Let me respond to Sean. Sean,
okay.
I didn't want to praise you because I didn't want your head to swell. But yes, you did. I do recall those comments. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that, Glenn. This is Dave. So that's to say that going back to the EXO platform testing, James Gannon has suggested that he could step in and try to do this. We will probably reach out to the co-chairs and staff will reach out to James and ask him to do the testing. However, I do know there is a sort of community exoplatform.com where anyone could join. And at least maybe we could try to, for some of us, to join the informal group, this informal thing on exoplatform.com, and just kick the tires around. All right? So that's exoplatform. Matamos. Glenn, I know, has been trying very hard with Matamos. to get them to come on to do a special purpose call or whatever. But it hasn't. Well, Glenn, just briefly, could you just give an update on what was the result on that?
Yeah, I talked to support three or four times, asking for time slots so they can come and do an overview presentation. They keep asking me, how many licenses do I need? What do I need it for? I keep answering, and it seems to just disappear. At least four times. So I'm about fed up trying to get these people to slate in. So I'll try one more time, but that's it. I'm tired of being ignored. So I'll try one more time.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Glenn, for the effort. But actually, hopefully, what I have to say next, you probably don't have to contact them again. I've just talked to Niran, who had experience with deploying Matomos, and he's agreed to step in to help deploy it. So he said he would try to do it and try to do it to have it up and running by next week, Monday, so that, maybe earlier. So you'll probably have a Matomos server for us to create accounts on and to test. Okay? So that's hopefully we can begin testing sometime next week of you testing Matomos. Okay.
We had a question from the phone, I think, or from the interpreter.
Oh, I'm so sorry, I missed that. Is there a question from the other chat, from the ES channel? Please go ahead.
Yes, may I ask a question? Renata speaking. May I ask
a question?
Go ahead,
Renata. Yes.
I would like to ask a question or to make a comment.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Renata.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is David.
If the technology task force is already making any review of Matomost. There will be a meeting in March, and would you test all these tools so as to know whether there will be some at-large session or people from at-large would be in this session so as to initiate any type of conversation with the task force? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Renata, for the question. And this is Dave. And the answer is yes. TTF, a technology task force member, will be deploying Matomos. And when he's finished setting it up, he'll tell us how to connect to it. So the technology task force can then test the Matomos tool. And I'll post an email to the technology task force list when it's ready. Okay? All right. So we have about just under 2 minutes for the last item. Conferencing solutions. I think Judith has been following up with Meet Echo. Judith, briefly, could you just summarize what's the outcome? Is that, which was, I think, very favorable to us. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Judith Halsey. For the record, as I mentioned earlier, we hope to do find a date in February, either as a special purpose call or during our main task force call, to do a rollout, to do a testing of Meet Echo. They've been very welcoming our testing, and so we'll just have to set a date to test it. And or to have a special purpose call, and it's probably going to be the week of our meeting in mid-February, but stay tuned.
Great. Excellent. So you could probably just add that as an action item to arrange for a doodle for an appropriate date and time during the week of during the month of February, sorry. Okay. And I see also that Olivier has suggested Mikago, which I believe we did test, but he has noted that there's been several improvements. That, for example, they are using things such as WebRTC for their for the audio conferencing and video conferencing. So perhaps we could perhaps need to look at that again. I initially I have to confess, I do not have the bandwidth January to look at this. So is there somebody who is willing to work with staff to help set up a testing of MikaGo or to see how it can be tested? I believe there's a trial version that can be deployed. So we could have a trial version set up and then, you know, we can have a special purpose call whenever, actually, to test out the tool. Any volunteers quickly?
Yeah, you can put that on me. This is Sean.
Okay. Okay, Sean, thanks for volunteering. Greatly appreciated. So Sean will lead the testing of MikaGo. Okay, lovely. All right, we're now 2 minutes past the hour. So any other business? Anyone wants to raise very quickly?
Any next problem?
Okay, question from Satish. Would TTF be able to provide a 5-minute security advisory during Relo monthly meeting on an ad-needed basis for the larger community? Satish, I would like to say let's try to do that. We could probably package it as part of a news briefing or a PDF or something of that sort that could be sent to the person or published on the wiki if need be. So I think, yes, I think I would like to try to do that. That's a good goal to try for. So, and again, that's one of our action items to try to report on security issues faced by the community. All right? Okay, so I'd like to thank everyone for this call, very informative, and everyone's participation. And thanks again to the interpreters and to staff. And this call is now adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, night. Take care, all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This meeting is now adjourned.
Bye,
you will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.